Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. There is a ton going on if you're just getting involved in your day. Jeff Hornacek was fired overnight by the Suns. I'll get to that. Senator John McCain is going to be with us today. And, of course, the Iowa caucuses are tonight. But I want to talk to the senator about the crazies that are out there and Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. But also, he'll weigh in on some sports stuff. So Senator John McCain here in about 13 minutes. And then Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, the professor, is going to be with us. The prof. Eric, should we call her that permanently? Do you think that sticks with her? I mean, I've referred to her as my friend for years, and she is.
I don't think that sticks at all, to be honest with
the
you.
The prof? Yeah. The professor?
Yeah, because she's not a full-time professor. She's just kind of doing it on the side.
She's teaching something over at ASU.
If she ever
journalism
got out of doing what she's doing, writing columns for AZ Central, and became like a full-time professor, we might have to start calling her like Dr. Bovin or something to make
we
it a little bit more official.
We call her mini-prof? Mini-prof?
Sure.
Mini-me? I don't know.
I mean, you're obviously not going to let this go, so you can
just call her
whatever you'd like. That's the best, Brad, is when you ask me for my opinion, and then I give it to you, and then you're like, well, maybe we can call her something else.
Well, I'm
like,
debating you.
Okay,
that's all.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. There's no debating that Jeff Hornacek's probably got a lot of stress off his shoulders. I know that much.
He had to be happy about this. I mean, so let's get into this. The Suns sent out a release that they – well, first it was reported by Yahoo, which is not a surprise because Wojo's tied in. So Wojo gets the word. It comes out overnight. I get a call really early this morning that Hornacek was fired and or as they put in their press release, relieved of his duties.
Thankfully. Thankfully.
Yeah. He was able to relieve himself. Yes. Thank you. So rather than go down the road of who should replace him now, this is not about who's going to replace him now. This continues my utter dismay with the organization. Just the Sun should be happy that I'm like this all the time because it means I actually am one of the few that care, okay? If I didn't care, I would do like most do in my profession, and that's just ignore them and just pretend they're not there and go chase whatever is the next great thing that's winning rather than let's tell the story here and let's follow the narrative of the story. The narrative of the story is quite simple. Since Robert bought the Suns, he has increased the value of the team, or not he, the value of the property that he purchased is now double, almost triple what he bought it for. Okay, so Robert is sitting on a gold mine of $1 billion that he paid $400 million for, and he's a banker. Let's not forget that. So when everybody goes after me and says, why don't you tell him to sell the team? Because he's not going to sell the team. Read my lips. He's not going to sell the team. He is sitting on an unbelievable amount of money. He's making gobs of money off this team, and they stink. That's on him. Okay. He's done something that is very rare, but it's very, if you're in that position, you put out an inferior product, very inferior product, I might add. They're 2-19 since December 20th. And I'm not going to buy into this, well, it's all because Eric Bledsoe's not here. No, Eric Bledsoe, that's another problem for another day that they have a big contract signed up on a guy that has 3 knee surgeries. So Robert's not going to sell. If you're in Robert's shoes, you're not going to sell. So he doesn't care about, I talk about being a good steward. I don't think Robert Sarver is a bad guy. I've never said he's a bad guy. I think he's a very smart businessman. But like most sports owners, winning isn't the first priority. In fact, several sports owners, winning falls down the list a long ways, I've found through the years. Some of these guys, it's what are we making off of this product? So when fans say, like this morning on my Facebook page, it's just ridiculous. You know, we're not going to burn jerseys. That's dumb. That's not happening. We're not going to stop going to games. People can stop watching. That's their prerogative. But this whole notion of, well, he just needs to sell the team and he's worse than the Bidwells were back in the day and I'm going to stomp my feet and hammer, your only recourse is simply this, don't go. But the NBA has a product that we like to see Kevin Durant when he rolls into town. We like to see LeBron James when he rolls into town. Unfortunately, here in Phoenix, and I never thought this would be the case, it's kind of like the Diamondbacks back in the day. They sold all their games out, but it was primarily Cubs fans and Giants fans. That's changing. This was the once proud franchise of Phoenix. It is not the once proud franchise of Phoenix anymore. In fact, it's in the most trouble, and follow me on this. They're in the worst shape of any of the pro sports franchises in the Valley when it comes to the product on the floor. But they're probably in the best shape or one of the best shapes of the four pro sports franchises. Now, the people at the Diamondbacks could say, what are you talking about? We have this money coming in from Fox that we're going to spend all this money on. That's true. And the NFL is making money hand over fist. The Cardinals could stink for years to come, and it doesn't matter. They're not going to live in a poorhouse. So if I were to cut the hairs down on it and say the NBA team is in better shape than the NFL team, I think they're in really good shape. The hockey team, that's a different story. I think they're finally coming out of the abyss. But when it comes to the product that is being delivered, what they are delivering to you, in most cases, the business would fold. It would. You would not go to the same restaurant over and over and over. Even if it was a gold-plated five-star restaurant back in the early 90s until about 2010, if the food started to stink and the service wasn't good, you wouldn't go and you wouldn't watch and you wouldn't care. But because it's a sports product, they can get away with this. People ask me, do you like sports? I love sports. Why? I'm doing this as a company. But I get really tired of owners that are not committed to putting the best product out on the floor. I get really tired of owners that go about their business as it is a business. And that's the first level. Our first level is we better darn well sure we make money. Everybody wanted to rip Jerry and what he did with the Diamondbacks and the financial abyss that they were in at one point in time. Do we have a World Series title all these years later? So anybody who takes pot shots at him, I'm not willing to tolerate that because we have a title here. Robert is the good fortune of Jerry and Robert doing a business deal where Jerry needed, wanted, whatever it is to get out. And Jerry decided to sell it to Robert. And I'm sure that if I had put Jerry on a lie detector and had him sit right here or sit here in our studios and say, do you regret selling the franchise to Robert Sarver? Jerry would say, I'd rather not talk about that. And he would take the classy, very professional business route. And it's not like Jerry hasn't made his mistakes either. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But I have to believe when he sees a guy like Jeff Hornacek come in here and 2 years ago was runner-up for Coach of the Year, and 2 years later, Markieff freaking Morris is still sitting on a contract in Phoenix, and Jeff's the guy that's fired. I mean, how much sense does that make in this day and age? And I don't buy into this. The easy thing is, well, the players have all the control. They have all the hammer. When Jeff said that the players weren't following directions, he basically dug his own grave. No, you know what? When you're making so much money, $400 million you bought it for, it's worth $1 billion. You can figure out a way to absolve a contract of Markieff Morris and get him out of here. And he hadn't done that. And he has this front office that is just... 3 weeks ago, they blow out both of their assistant coaches. Now they blow out Jeff. And I'm pretty certain that Lon should have been blown out a long time ago. How many years have I been sitting here saying, what does Lon Babbie do? How many years now?
Several years. I think since we started this company, which was what, 2011?
12.
12?
Yeah. I mean, and he's still there. And Ryan has come into this situation. Ryan may be Josh Burns. Ryan may be AJ Hinch, where he arrived at some place and he just wasn't ready.
He drafted well. Isaiah Thomas, not so good. Some of his other trades, not so good.
Okay,
he
so
did
when
draft
say, when
well,
you say
though.
Drafted well, Devin Booker's been a very good pick.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's been a very good pick. But you can't say after 3 months that he has arrived and he's going to be the next Steph Curry. I'm very happy to hear that Devin Booker is going to play in the three-point shootout. Okay? That's where guys like Steph Curry and Dennis Scott, when they were rookies, were involved in. There's not many guys. He looks like he's going to be a great pick, but I don't know that as fact. When Alex Len got here, he was supposed to be a great pick. I was big on Alex Len. But you look at how mismanaged, and then when I get the, well, we thought we were going to get LaMarcus Aldridge and we'd be a lot better. They've got all this money tied up in Bledsoe with all these knee injuries. Is this, look, did Jeff need to go? Probably. For his own sanity, he needed to go. The players had tuned him out. You could roll with Jeff the rest of this year and have a really good chance of having the number one overall pick in the draft. So now they're not announcing today who the replacement's going to be. They're not even talking today. They're just, he's gone, and we're going to figure it out, and we'll let you know tomorrow at 11 a.m. So let me get this straight. The guys that were the assistant coaches who probably would have been better candidates to take over, they're not here anymore because you fired them 3 weeks ago.
Here is the quote from McDonough from December 28th of last year. Despite all of our struggles and despite disappointing play lately, we're two games out of the playoffs with 50 to go, which is not insurmountable. Jeff has every opportunity and will continue to have every opportunity as we all work ourselves out of this hole and try to get back on the right track.
Okay, they couldn't.
That was a month ago. That was about a month ago.
Right. And so in the meantime, they blow out those two assistants. Now they're looking at Corey Gaines or, you know, the assistants that are there. Doesn't mean anything to me.
And it doesn't mean anything this year. I mean, you're not, it just puts somebody on the bench to call plays. It doesn't matter at this point.
So now and we've got Senator McCain here in a couple of minutes and Paula too. But let me just finish this rant on this thought.
Good rant, by the way.
Thanks. I have them every now and then. Jeff doesn't get fired every day. Luke Walton, okay, if I'm we know Robert's affinity for the U of A. We know that Luke Walton did a terrific job filling in for Steve Kerr. We know that Steve Kerr is probably going to pull Luke Walton aside and put him in a locker and say, there's no way you want to go there and work in that situation because Steve was here and took off. David Blatt, I think, is a very interesting name to me. Yes, he had LeBron James. And yes, the players turned on him. But David Blatt, nonetheless, had some very good success, and a lot of people came to his defense when he was fired. Dan Marley is sitting there. Eric and I were both at the Grand Canyon game on Saturday night. And, in fact, I was talking with President Mueller, and I had mentioned Dan and the Suns and all that stuff. And Dan has to be one person that if, again, we were sitting here without a lie detector test going on, that would say, yes, everything worked out for a reason. When mom or dad give you everything happens for a reason, use Dan Marley as example number one.
Well, and Dan's not dumb. I don't think he'd ever, I mean, the situation he is in now, would he ever want to go back to the organization that basically said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks?
Oh, there's no question. But Eric, time does heal, in all fairness.
I still think
that's
pretty
Luis
raw,
Gonzalez
though.
When Luis Gonzalez and the Diamondbacks had a very ugly, ugly, mm-hmm. ugly departure from one another, it took years to rebuild that fence. And they rebuilt that fence. So, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Back with more after this timeout. So, the big story here in the Valley today is, of course, Jeff Hornacek fired by the Phoenix Suns early this morning. Very disappointed about that. But on a national scale, the big story in our nation is the Iowa caucuses are tonight. And Senator John McCain is with us for a few minutes, joining us live. You're in Washington, D.C., Senator?
Yes, I am, Brad, trying to do the Lord's work in the city of Satan.
There you go. Like to hear that. Like to hear that. What do you want to see out of Iowa tonight, Senator?
I think that the conventional wisdom is that Trump, Cruz, and Rubio will be somewhere in 1, 2, and 3, that nobody's sure in what order, depending on what turnout. I would point out that in the past, people who won the Iowa caucuses have not necessarily been the nominee of the party. In fact, almost all the time that's not the case. But this particular caucus has some significance in that it's the, quote, establishment versus the anti-establishment, which that makes it take on some more significance as far as momentum out of Iowa is concerned. But remember that New Hampshire, which is the first real test, is about a week later. Could I just may say that Jeff Hornacek is a great guy. He provided us with so much entertainment and enjoyment when he was with the Suns. I'm sorry he's going, and all we can do is hope that they get their ship back on course, and people get well that are injured. Bledsoe gets well, and a lot of stuff. And we're still proud to have the Suns in our state, and we've got a great history, and hopefully we'll come back, right? And meanwhile, the Coyotes are playing well above their weight, and I'm very pleased with these new young guys. They can skate, and so I'm optimistic about us making the playoffs. And our big challenge, as you know, Brad, as you and I have talked before, is to make sure we keep them in the Valley. I'm very, very worried about that.
Okay, there's a bunch there. Let's go over on the Sun Center. You and I have seen each other at Suns games for years and years and years. Yep. Robert is sitting on a franchise that is now valued by Forbes at $1 billion. Jerry sold it to him for $402 million. The team is going into their sixth year of missing the postseason. As a fan, are you at the point where I am? Because I'm just banging my head against the wall, to be honest with you. I just don't see where there's progress. They're in a ditch, and I don't see a solution coming anytime soon to get them out of the ditch on the court, where it matters most to me and the fans. What do you see?
Well, I mean, I share your disappointment. I share the frustration. You and I can remember that the most valuable thing in Arizona was a ticket to a Suns game.
Yep.
In the golden days of Marley and Barkley and Nash and all of those. And by the way, you got a tip of the hat to Dan Marley with the Grand Canyon University. Honest to God, there's a level of enthusiasm over there that I'm telling you is remarkable. And Thunder Dan, maybe that decision not to make him the head coach was probably one of the more impactful ones, huh? But they're the only game in town. There is provisions, they're working on for a new arena. Mm-hmm. I know that I've talked with Mayor Stanton about it. They're all in to do that. Obviously, it isn't just the coach, okay? And maybe some other changes need to be made. I don't pretend to try to tell Mr. Sarver what to do because I think he's a good man, but as a Suns fan, some things have to change, obviously.
The arena situation. So I'm hearing that this week the Coyotes, or in the next couple of weeks, the Coyotes and Arizona State may come to an agreement to partner together on a new arena. The Arizona State hockey team is doing very well. They need a new basketball facility. I don't know if they can house all three. But the Coyotes, I actually am somewhat optimistic, Senator, that we're going to get that deal done where they're going to be here in some way, shape, or form. This is the first time in a long time I've been so optimistic. What about you?
I'm not trying to get political in any way, but I don't think you could regard the Glendale experience as a success.
No, I just don't think
it's been
a disaster.
You can. And you know all the reasons a lot better than I do. And when they were downtown in the golden days of Newman and Tkachuk and Roenick, oh boy, it was, I'll never forget the first whiteout in the desert. Oh my God. And so, this Max Domi, I know you've seen that kid skate. He's amazing. And Shane is having the best, Captain Coyote's having the best year he's had in years. And we've still got the best coach in all of hockey. But I think that there's two tracks going on. One is the new home for the Suns, and whether the Coyotes would fit into that as we used to, and the other, as you mentioned, ASU. And any of them, I encourage in order to keep the Coyotes here. And I think that the owner is ready to invest and has invested these new guys, and I'm very pleased with their commitment. But the bottom line is obviously that they have to have a future. You know, it's understandable, and there are municipalities that would love to have an NHL team.
Senator John McCain with us for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat, I'm very happy of all the big events that we've had in the last year and a half. We've had the Super Bowl. We've had the national title game. We have the March Madness tournament coming up in 2017 for the first time in Glendale. But, Senator, as you know, it's always what's next, what's next, what's next. And how do we stay relevant in Arizona with our facilities? Because I have very good feelings about the representation of Michael over on the NFL side. I have very good feelings about what Derek's doing and Ken Kendrick over on the Diamondback side to try to attract an all-star game and things like that. Can you give me a little bit of, has there been any discussion or vision about moving forward to go after big events to keep us in the cycle?
Yes, and the great advantage we have, as you know, is that they love to come to the Valley, especially in the wintertime and in the fall and in the spring. I mean, you know, that is, they love it. They like the, not just the weather, but the environment, the places to eat, all of it. It's just a, it's not an accident that so many former professional athletes retire in our Valley. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall. I mean, this is real. I'm so excited about beating the Dodgers. I can't tell you how much I hate them. But anyway, after what they did in the swimming pool, I will never forgive or forget. Yeah. Anyway, so we just need to revamp the Suns. We need to establish the Coyotes, and I'm very optimistic about both ASU and U of A and their football prospects. So, but I do know that when I run into these athletes and people who are professionals, they say we love to come to Arizona and play. We love to have our families there. We like to move there. So we have that huge advantage. And by the way, the Cactus League, as you well know, is, I run into more people that spend their spring, a couple of months in spring, just going from one game to another. It's a hell of a lot easier in Arizona than it is in Florida, believe me.
No, that's true.
So I'm very optimistic, and I think that I think that the Suns will get sorted out. I'm nothing but optimism about Bidwell's and Kimes' leadership, and I'm very proud that we have some of the finest athletes in America, in Larry Fitzgerald, in Shane Doan, and some of our other athletes that are playing so well, and of course we really have an opportunity to have a magnificent baseball season, and I'm looking very Goldie is another one of these fine young
yep.
people. They're examples to all of us.
What would you say to Carson Palmer here in the offseason? I'm sure you saw the Carolina game, and I've asked this of everybody associated with football, but I'm curious, as a fan, as big a fan as you are of the Cardinals, what do you say to Carson Palmer after showing like Carolina?
I would say that as a fellow loser, I would tell you that you got to put it behind you. You got to put it in context. Has anybody ever seen a game like the Green Bay game? And I do believe there was something wrong with his finger. I don't care how often they deny it. And I also think that his judgment was poor, obviously throwing into coverage like he did. But that shouldn't detract from an exciting season that we had with great coaches, great young men, one of the superstars of the future in the Honey Badger. We should be so happy, frankly. And by the way, in the next couple of days, I got to go to the floor and praise the Panthers because I had a stupid bet with a senator from North Carolina. So I'm looking forward to that chore. But look, after crying all night, I then recovered and looked back. We should look back at what an exciting season we had. And if we'd have said 3 or 4 years ago that we were going to play for the NFC Championship, not many people would have believed it. So my advice to Carson Palmer, who is a very mature man, look, put it behind you, move on, and recognize that life is tough. And next year we'll be storming right back if we re-sign a few people that we need. And I'm confident we're going to be playing for the championship again. And I believe that he can put all this behind us. And look, Fitzgerald just gets better with age, right?
They threw dirt on him last year. Larry just keeps going. I'll let you go off that. I'm just curious before you go, are you going to I'm getting people sending me messages while we're sitting here chatting about who are you going to support and put your support behind? Are you, where are you at on that?
Lindsey Graham was my guy. He's just the dearest of friends, and we've worked together so long, and as you know, he didn't make it, so
right.
I'm staying out of it. I've got my own race to run. It's going to be tough and hard. There's a lot of unhappy people out there, as you know, which is what has given rise to a large degree to Trump and Cruz, and I'm proud of what I've how I've served Arizona, but I also have a task of proving to the voters that of what I can do and what I will do, and these are very interesting and turbulent times politically, so I'm staying out of it, and respect the judgment of the Arizona voters when our primary rolls around, which isn't that far away.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always, Senator. Thank you.
Good to be with you as always, Brad. Bye-bye.
There's John McCain with us from Washington, D.C. The caucuses are tonight. Sports360AZ.com. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Paula is next. Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, the professor on the other side. Stay with us.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
Always good to catch up with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, News and Notes. She joins us via Skype. You're not surprised, or are you surprised by the Jeff Hornacek firing today?
Not surprised. When you win two games out of your last, 21? Somebody's got to be the scapegoat, and that's exactly what I think Jeff Hornacek is.
Are you going to hammer the Suns on this, or are you going to support them on this?
No, I'm, you know, if I have to choose between the two, definitely hammer. It, you know, how do you go in just two seasons from being, what, the runner-up for Coach of the Year, for being highly regarded, and to being fired, and someone named Markieff Morris outlasting you? Something is wrong with that picture. You know, it's this is so much about personnel moves and not having a plan and bad decision making. You know, Jeff Hornacek may not have been the perfect coach, and I think in communication issues may have been a problem at times. But to think he's the reason they are what they are right now, I think is ridiculous.
I'm getting all this, and I'm sure you are too, of Robert just needs to sell the team, and there's no reason for him to sell the team. I would not sell the team, even if I ran them into the ground. If I'm making $1 billion and I bought it for $400 million, then I'm just going to sit there and say, no, there's nothing. There's no chance of him selling, right?
Right. I have heard no reason that he would want to. I'm the same way. If I owned a team, I would want to keep it. You know, and really, I thought this season, preseason, there was a lot of promise. They went after guys, really talented guys, and while they didn't land them, they were close. And so I thought they had a good vision. And the way things have unraveled is really disappointing, and they maybe they had a plan A, but they felt like they never really had a plan B. And good franchises find ways to adjust, and I know this one has been hit by injuries and everything else, but is that Jeff Hornacek's fault?
Okay, so I'm trying to hold myself back today, because you know, for the last, I don't know, you and I have been chatting here for 4 years, and for four years I've not been happy with the organization in any way, shape, or form. They held on to Nash too long. They just wanted to fill the lower bowl when it was very clear that Steve was at the end of his rope. And that happens. And it's just gone from all these guys rolling through here that have run this thing into the ground. The constant is Lon Babbie is still here. Even doesn't matter to me what his title is. He's still here. Ryan McDonough is becoming more and more to me the Josh Burns, A.J. Hinch type of guy, where this may be too soon for him. Mm-hmm. But after everything that has gone on, nobody can tell me that the front office should not be held accountable and changes need to come. 3 weeks ago, they blow out the two assistant coaches who probably, Paula, were the most qualified to replace Jeff. So now we're stuck here with guys that are just guys. And then we're going to get into, should it be Luke Walton? Should it be David Blatt? Would it be Dan Marley? Dan and his would never go back to that situation, in my humble opinion. But the whole thing has been so mismanaged, in that the front office seems to be Teflon in this whole deal.
Well, and that's the problem. I mean, from day one, you had a very successful businessman who had never been a, a leader in the sports realm, and being a president or an owner in sports versus anything else is completely different. And then you had someone in Lon Babbie who was also put in a position that really is not where he excelled. He was a very good agent, a very well-respected agent, but he was put in charge of decisions that he probably shouldn't have. So you had this situation kind of snowballing from the start. But they never adjusted well enough. You know, I don't think they ever adjusted well. And now, I certainly understand the questions about Ryan McDonough. But now you're going into a draft where really I think this is his strength, is sort of the evaluation of talent in the draft and things like that. So do you want to make a change with him? I don't necessarily think that's the way to go. But you're right. I mean, it starts from the top. And I understand why fans are disgusted.
But see, here's the thing on the player personnel front. We can say Devin Booker looks like a terrific, so far he does, but we're
right.
3 months into Devin Booker.
Sure.
Alex Len was supposedly going to give them something and get better and better and better. In my humble opinion, I think he's regressed. They gave Markieff this extension. Nobody's talking about Bledsoe other than, oh, he's going to be back next year. Really? He's had 3 knee surgeries. Of somebody who's had 5 of them, and I'm not a pro player, it doesn't get any easier. So I think they're stuck on that contract.
Right.
Archie Goodwin comes in here as a first-round pick, as a guy that left school early. They've been waiting for him. He's done some nice things occasionally. Just a guy. So right. I can't say that, boy, they've done a great job in evaluating their drafts year in and year out, and there's plenty of good personnel guys out there. Somebody's got to be held accountable for Markieff's deal, Paula. I don't know who that person is going to be, because it seems like everybody's dodging him. Oh, it's going to work out with Markieff. No, he's a disaster. You said it very well off the top. He's here and Jeff's fired. That makes zero sense in reality that he's still here.
Well, and he is the symbol of this franchise right now in what has gone wrong.
Yes.
He's a pretty talented player who, if he had his head on straight, would be an asset to a team. But they let it get this way. This organization let it get this way. And you're right. It's hard to pinpoint who's more culpable. I think they probably all had a hand in it. But they absolutely misread the fact that they could fix it. And this is always such a problem in professional sports. People think they can fix things. They can make it work. And it just got worse and worse for them. And the fact that they could not communicate with him to get his head straight and to let it turn into what it has is just ridiculous. And you know, it feels a little hopeless now with this organization. Well, I hate to be that person, but, you know, you raise the questions about Bledsoe, and I love the signing of Tyson Chandler, but he's sort of dealt with his injury issues, too, and hasn't been able to do enough for this team. And,
Tyson,
you know, you look around, you hope they tank the season and can get a top pick. You know, maybe that's the light. Well, I wish then they had communicated that early on that, you know, if that was the route they were going to go, I think fans could have bought into that at one point. But they had success a couple of years ago, and it maybe changed what they were going to do. But it just feels like there's no vision, Brad.
Tyson Chandler was brought here for LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge didn't show up here. This is the same
right.
group that unveiled a banner when he's already going somewhere else. Michael Beasley, that's on Lon Babbie's watch. Isaiah Thomas, that's on Lon Babbie's watch. Goran Dragic, that's on Lon Babbie's watch. I just don't get how some group of people running a franchise can just get off scot-free by putting such an inferior product and making bad move after bad move out there and say, well, look at this great Devin Booker kid. Yeah, it's great, but it doesn't absolve you from all the nonsense you've dealt to the fans out here.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just too many parts of this puzzle that have failed. And again, it's putting people in positions that they're not used to being in, or not having enough of the right basketball minds surrounding them. Again, we talked about Sarver, and this wasn't his kind of a field in sports. But if you come into a job like Sarver did, people can succeed, but they have to have the right pieces around him. And I think that's where he failed. I mean, you look at how things unfolded. It's been a disaster.
Okay. Peter Holt.
Yes.
Peter Holt in San Antonio. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know Peter Holt. Peter Holt could walk by you and I at lunch, and we wouldn't know who Peter Holt is.
Wouldn't recognize him, no.
Right. And he's given Greg Popovich total autonomy. And so people want to model their franchises after what the Spurs have done, unless it's Robert, who wants to make fun of Popovich for not playing players and doing the chicken thing and all that. But that's another story. Mark Cuban has sat here with Rick Carlisle for the last few years, and he hasn't punched his ticket, and they're clearly in a rebuilding mode. Dirk's at the end. My point is, there are ownership groups that if I'm trying to model a franchise, I have to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing wrong? And what are those franchises doing right? And I don't know if Robert does that, A. Then B, let's try to attract a big name coach to come to Phoenix, the best coach to come to Phoenix. Or it's, we're in a rebuilding mode. Great. We're in year six of that rebuilding mode. How's that working out for you? So a guy like David Blatt, who is out there, or if Jeff Van Gundy wants to get back in the mix, why in God's green earth would they want to come here? That's my problem, is they're stuck.
Well, I mean, there's so many people who want to be head coaches, great head coaches who don't have jobs anymore. There will be plenty of interest. But, you know, are they going to have enough pieces to fix this? It's going to take a while. Even getting people back next season, it's going to take a while. They need more personnel. They need to do a great job in this draft. They need probably more free agents. And they got to figure out this Markieff Morris thing, because it's an absolute mess.
Yeah. All right. Wish I had some happy stuff. I had Senator McCain on earlier, and he said he'd give Carson Palmer a pat on the back. What did he say, Eric? He thought his finger was worse, and there was some stuff there from the senator. But I wish I had anything else other than the Suns today to talk to you about.
It's a pretty gloomy day in the sports world, Brad, here, yes. Certainly with the Suns.
That's fine. We're going to stick with the professor for you. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, it makes me sound important, although it also makes me sound
like...
Get out
of here. You're a columnist for AZ Central. You are important. What do you mean?
Well, you're making me sound like I'm, you know, I have friends named the Skipper and Little Buddy or something, like I'm from Gilligan's Island, you know?
We'll call you Little Buddy. Here's Little Buddy Paula. All right, get out of here. See you soon.
All right, Brad.
There's Paula Bovin. Did I just dominate that segment? I really shouldn't have. I didn't want to, you know, hammer Paula on this stuff. Was I bad on that one, Eric? Do you want me to just shut up now? Have I
no.
done enough today?
I mean, I think we've taken the Jeff Hornacek dead horse and beaten it as it deserved to be beaten. The situation, not Jeff Hornacek himself. Just the year, the couple years, the franchise, the internal structure, the lack of internal structure, the roster assembled, the roster in place, the roster moving forward, the free agent signings, the trades, the good draft picks, the bad draft picks. I think we've kind of put it all like in a nice little like
I don't know
folder,
how a season so. Ticket holder can just stomach this stuff. I don't. I'm not telling them not to renew. Teams get all worked up when we say that stuff. But gosh almighty, how do you look around and say, you know, we've got this figured out? How do you look at how do they stand up there tomorrow and say, we got this? And the only way you can do that is to completely blow this thing up again. I think Charles said this a couple of years ago to me on the air. He's like, they're going to be in the ditch for a long, long time. People thought he was piling on. He's dead flat right. They're not getting out of this ditch. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So one of those stories that's predictable is the Pro Bowl got a good number last night. Of course it did. 5.0. Do you see any of it, Eric?
No, I don't watch Pro Bowls.
I did not have any interest at all in watching the Pro Bowl. Now, the number is down from where it was last year. RWP sent this over to us. I saw some of the NHL All-Star game because I wanted to see how John Scott is one of the better stories that is out there in sports. You talk about the fans having control. John Scott was really just a guy, not even that, with the Coyotes. And somebody decided somewhere, let's put a Twitter campaign to get him into the All-Star game. So they get him into the All-Star game. The Coyotes ship him off to Montreal. They ship him off to the minor leagues. Then he goes to the All-Star game. He's elected a captain. And he scored 2 goals yesterday. Of course he did. And he got into a mock fight with Patrick Kane. Of course he did. And so the fans' power stepped up yesterday. And if the NBA did something like that, that'd be like, I don't know, that'd be like, let's nominate Lon as management of the year guy or something like that. It's along the same lines.
And I meant to ask you, lost in all the chaos of the Hornacek firing, the Diamondbacks made a pretty big trade over the weekend.
They did. We were all talking about this. Actually, So Saturday night, I'm going to the GCU game, and I get a text that Dave Stewart's on a conference call. So I'm driving along with my wife on a date, and I said, of course we're on a date. I'm going to jump on a conference call. And so we're driving down the 202, and I'm asking some questions of Dave Stewart about this deal. I like this deal. Aaron Hill's contract was one that was an albatross around the organization. It's nothing against Aaron. He's a nice enough guy, but he's at the end of his career. Jace Anderson was a good pitcher. Not a great pitcher, a good pitcher. So they've got to give up some talent there to get rid of that bad contract, and they gave up a very good prospect.
And the Diamondbacks ended up paying, what, half of the remaining deal, I
believe?
It depends
on who you read and who you believe
okay.
in that.
So they don't have to absorb the whole deal. That's
no.
part of the caveat of this
but,
deal.
But they got him out. They get another shortstop. And Stu said on the conference call that he's open to looking at closers. It's nothing against Ziegler, but there's some guys out there via trade that they would be considering and looking at this point in time. And once again, it says to me that here's an organization that just dumped all this money into Zach Greinke that looks at it and says, we got to go for it this year. We have to go for it this year. We're not going to sit there and go through prospect after prospect. What's interesting, though, is he brought up his rotation, Eric, on this conference call. And he said De La Rosa and Ray, there's 3 and 4, okay? So you'd have Greinke, Miller, Corbin, De La Rosa, and Ray.
It's a pretty good starting five.
Okay, but then I talked to someone who's very tight within the organization who said he's hearing De La Rosa is going to end up eventually being in the bullpen. Now, I don't know that as fact. What's really interesting to me is how many times in this offseason, it doesn't matter if I've been at events or around people with the organization, how nobody wants to bring Archie Bradley's name up anymore. Nobody. And so he takes the line drive, and that would set anybody back. But I get the feeling that he's not somebody that they look at and say, we're going to count on him to be in our rotation now.
Or they're publicly just pulling back the expectations because he was pushed into the spotlight pretty quickly.
Could be.
And has been, I don't know, I'd say mixed results so far. He had some good outings, had some bad outings.
Remember
but
last
again,
year in April how excited you and I were?
Exactly.
We went to his first start against the Dodgers.
But he's so young. I mean, there's still plenty of time, so there's no need to rush this guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you may have a point there, but I have some people that I've talked to down there that feel as though that maybe he's not all that. And maybe they're sending him a message, too, in that regard, that, you know what, you're not all that.
We're not going to give this to you. You're going to have to earn it.
Yeah. This week is the there's a few things going on this week. If you were to see how we've been over the last – we did a conference call on a Sunday, of all things, at this company. We've never done a conference call on a Sunday. Just figuring out how to do a conference call on a Sunday was a chore yesterday just because there's so much going on this week. And the Waste Management Open tomorrow is Dream Day. Dream Day is one of the best events, and our buddy Tim Hovick and the people at Ford, it's free to get in. And you can go to Dream Day, and you can see these Special Olympians alongside of some of our leaders in our community, sports guys too, and they're in a putting competition. And it's one of the best events every year. I love going to that event. Wednesday is the Pro-Am. Fitz is playing in the Pro-Am. Arians is playing in the Pro-Am. Brian Urlacher is playing in the Pro-Am. Emmett Smith is playing in the Pro-Am. Dierks Bentley. So they have a good Pro-Am field. The weather stinks today. It's supposed to be okay, but cold, really cold tomorrow. And the rest of the week, it's supposed to be great. I am disappointed Jordan Spieth is not in the field. And I'm not disappointed that Tiger's not in the field this year. Because I saw Tiger last year, and that was just hard. And that's one of those, he may never come back here. This tournament draws over 500,000 people without Tiger Woods in the field. So it's not like they have to have him. I would like to see Spieth come here. But I get it. It's several million dollars for him just to get off the plane on the tarmac over at Abu Dhabi. And they roll the carpet out for him. And it's some ungodly amount of money the same time as the Open. So there's that's going on. Then tomorrow, the Suns aren't talking today. They're fired their coach and they're not talking today. They're interviewing the potential replacements for Jeff Hornacek. So this saga will go on tomorrow. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our website has plenty of content up on it, guys. It's free. You can check it out at Sports360AZ.com. We have high school, college, pro, pro college, high school, things that we see around the valley, around the state that are of interest to us. We are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. That's how I like to explain it. Thanks for being with us.